Hello, you're listening to a podcast from Ox in a Box, sponsored by and featuring Thomas Franks. Teams of volunteers from Thomas Franks Limited at Hook Norton have been preparing and packaging 12,000 meals, ready for delivery to 39 UK charities in 14 cities, including Banbury and Bicester. The aim is to eradicate food poverty. In our podcast, Gavin Young, chef director at Thomas Franks, chatted with Frank Rothwell, founder of the company, about how, since the pandemic broke out, he has turned his hand to running his new Feeding Communities project, providing free meals to the NHS frontline and deprived children, as well as concentrating on alleviating food poverty itself. He told us that food poverty among children and families has been exacerbated by the current crisis. To date, the Thomas Franks Foundation has provided over 70,000 free, fresh, healthy and nutritious meals, as well as food parcels and food vouchers. Listen to find out how this has been achieved.
So Frank, tell me a bit about yourself and why you began this campaign.
So Thomas Franks is 15 years old this year, and we're a family business, and we've been going looking after two key sectors of the industry. One is private schools and the other is head offices. And up to the point of the crisis, we were turning over around about 60 million, employing about 2,000 staff in four countries. Feeding Communities started when the crisis first hit, and my team and I came up with an idea of feeding a few people and looking after the vulnerable.
Tell me about your business and why is it in a better position than most to help?
I think we've got 164 client kitchens nationwide and in Europe. And we just decided that we couldn't see those kitchens sitting idle. So we approached our clients and asked them if we could use them as feeding hubs. And the answer was simply yes. So we felt that we had the ability to do this because of our kitchens sitting idle. And also we had so many volunteers that that work for us that couldn't work doing their normal job, and they wanted to give back. So we had the employee base, we had the kitchens, and we had the distribution capability for the meals via our suppliers. It was a no-brainer.
Talk me through the logistics of carrying out something like this.
So we've got currently about 150 volunteers, chefs, front of house staff, directors, managers. We've even got employees from other companies that have been furloughed, and we've taken them on as volunteers cooking for us. It's a nationwide thing. We're doing this in Ireland, Scotland, the North, the Midlands, the Southwest, the Southeast, and London. Malta has gone crazy on food aid through John Grimmer, our chef director. And we've even looked after Portugal, a country we've just started working in. It's been challenging to bring about this food aid through kitchen hubs that were mothballed at the start of the crisis. But we've now found it easy, and the last 8 weeks have just simply flown by. I think doing this has helped the mental health of our own employees, and it's something which they want to see continuing as a legacy, because giving back is good and it should be done.
How hard has it been?
It's not been hard at all. No one that works for us, that has volunteered for us, will ever tell you anything other than at the end of each day they feel humbled. It has not felt like hard work at all. We're used to doing 80 to 100,000 meals a week, and we've just about done 80,000 meals in 8 weeks, which is incredible, but it's way below what we're used to. So it's not been difficult at all. It's just felt like a gift every single day.
You started with the NHS and the vulnerable, and it has grown exponentially. How did that happen?
Well, some of our leadership team found vulnerable communities, and the first one was in Gloucestershire at Rendcomb College through Dean Collins, an amazing man, and the headmaster Rob. And we started feeding 20 or 30 local residents and doctors' surgeries, and it grew from there. It was a movement. It was underground and it was exposed, and everybody wanted a part of it, and it just flew. And within a few weeks, we were doing 10,000 meals a week, and it's gone on since then.
So where are you now in terms of figures, and is that sustainable?
So I think we've got to about 80,000 fresh chilled meals and food packages in those 8 weeks, or coming up 8 weeks. And it is sustainable to keep that going as long as the funding continues. And we're seeking funding every single day and week to make sure that whilst we are in lockdown and in crisis, we keep giving back. Our own charity, the Thomas Franks Foundation, has changed its approach to allow us to ensure that the funding we have all goes to the vulnerable.
The Lord Mayor has also joined in, hasn't he?
So yeah, the Mayor's Fund for London is a wonderful charity in London. And we're working with a fantastic group with Clara Widdowson called Kitchen Social, and we're delivering probably in excess of, I'd say, 7,000 meals a week to the most food-deprived children in London. And we'd like to see that expand to other cities, if possible. But yeah, the Lord Mayor is, or the Mayor of London, is certainly a focal point for us.
Child poverty is a separate issue, isn't it? It's not COVID-related. How has your project to alleviate child poverty come out as a result?
So we started feeding the most vulnerable children in food poverty 8 weeks ago, and it led us to think that this must be happening elsewhere. So The Guardian wrote a wonderful article a few weeks ago which highlighted that up to 5 million families were suffering food poverty, and their children also. And that led us to think of a way to highlight the issue, and we did that yesterday with the Big Feed, which was 10,000 meals on one day to the most vulnerable families and children in the UK in 14 towns and cities. But actually, I think the final figures that we produced were closer to 15,000 meals in the UK and in Malta. It was a tremendous group effort by about 100 volunteers, and we're so proud of it.
What are you hoping the Big Feed will achieve?
I'm hoping the Big Feed will allow there to be movement within communities that want to come together to look to eradicate food poverty. I think there's so much going on in the country with so many good groups like Food Share and the Scran Academy in Edinburgh, and they're doing wonderful things. And if we all started a movement of our own, we could eradicate food poverty in our communities. Let's come together on this.
As a family man with five children, have you found the stark statistic shocking?
I certainly have, and all of my children are very aware of the movement we've created, and they wish it to continue. I think it's fair to say that most of us lead busy lives, and pre the crisis, most of us knew this was going on but didn't have the time to approach it or deal with it. During this crisis, the kindness that's been seen in this country has been amplified by the lockdown, and that needs to be continued, in my view, with a legacy giving.
What has been the outcome?
So, since we started doing Feeding Communities, every week we've gathered more support from donors, gathered more interest from leaders of communities to find out how they can help. And that's great. And since the Big Feed, the outcome has been, I feel, that people now realise that their neighbours, the people that their children play with at school, some of our own employees in our own companies, might just be suffering with food poverty. And I think it's something which shouldn't be embarrassing. It should be dealt with.
What are your frustrations?
I think my frustrations are that it's a very rich country and we need to fairly share out that wealth and start by eradicating food poverty, particularly in children and families.
What can we do to help?
The simplest of things we can do to help. We can look at diverting some of our own income into projects, good projects that lead to providing good fresh food each week to families that are struggling. It might be that we can only provide enough food for two meals a week, but that, times the number of people helping, could deliver a great solution for some vulnerable groups.
Finally, what is next for Thomas Frank's Feeding the Communities, and how will it continue?
So there is a true legacy on this charitable work under our foundation, and we've set up our own giving page for that, which we can send the information on. But all of our employees, every single one I've spoken to, most of the 2,000 employees have all said they will give up their free time post this crisis to provide labour, free labour or free distribution labour, to get food to those that need it. I'm sure we can find the funding, and I'm sure we can find the market for this food. So let's just do it.
All donations and offers of support will be greatly welcomed to make a practical and immediate difference to those affected by food poverty. If you are able to offer any help, go to virginmoneygiving.com and search for the Thomas Franks Foundation. You've been listening to a podcast from oxinabox.co.uk. Read more online at oxinabox.co.uk.